Good morning. Welcome to worship this 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Direct your attention to the announcements at the end of the bulletin. This time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us, and in your Spirit, lead us so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look to the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord. Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Call all God's children together now to listen and hear these words of promise that we hear today. We hear readings about rocks today. We've talked about rocks here in past weeks. Some of you even went home and decorated some rocks. It's easy to focus on rocks that are buildings, the stones of our church, places where we have felt safe in the past that we may not be able to go right now. We are encouraged today to think about the rocks of our faith. We hear about a rock named Abraham, a rock named Sarah, a rock named Peter, a rock named Jesus Christ. God encourages us today that no matter where we are, whether we're in walls made of rock or not, God is with us We can trust in God in all things. Let us pray. Oh God, you are our rock. During times when we feel uncertain or nervous or scared or worried, we can stand firm on you and in you. Help us to be rocks for one another in life, that we might help each other through difficult times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Up to this point in Matthew's gospel, people have worshiped Jesus and spoken about their faith in him several times. Last week, remember the Canaanite woman whose daughter Jesus healed called him Son of David and Lord. 2 weeks ago in our gospel lesson, Simon Peter, who also stars in this week's gospel reading, called out to Jesus, "Save me, Lord," on the open sea. And after Peter and Jesus returned to the boat, the other disciples also worshiped him and called him the Son of God. But this week, Peter utters the strongest statement of faith up to this point in the gospel. In fact, this scene in our gospel lesson today is often called the Confession of Peter. There's even a church festival dedicated to it, January 18th each year. What is it that makes Peter's confession so noteworthy? In part, we may say it's the content of his confession. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one of God, chosen by God to restore God's people. But we already knew that. Matthew begins his gospel, in fact, informing us there in chapter 1, this is a story about Jesus, the Messiah. Also, Peter confesses Jesus is the Son of the living God. As I said earlier, the other disciples already confessed him to be Son of God in their boat early one morning after Jesus walked toward them on the water amidst a storm. But it's not just the content of Peter's confession that's noteworthy. It's also the fact that, as Jesus points out, flesh and blood have not revealed this to Peter. Rather, he has confessed something divine. He's confessed something, in fact, that he does not yet fully understand and cannot yet fully embrace. It's the Father in heaven, Jesus says, that has revealed this to Peter, making Peter's participation in this event truly special. Peter's confession is not new or unique in any sense, but it's the most explicit statement of faith in Jesus, the most explicit instance of worship of Jesus up to this point in Matthew's gospel. And it's also one of the first times Jesus implicitly confirms these claims about himself by blessing Simon for his words, giving him the nickname Peter, which means rock, and then warning the disciples not to tell others who he is yet. Peter believes in Jesus. That much is clear to us here. However, the most noteworthy thing here is that Jesus believes in Peter. Notice what faith Jesus places in Peter. Really ponder, how much would Jesus have to trust Peter to promise to build the church on and in and through someone like him? Especially given what we know about Peter from the rest of Scripture. In fact, we will see next week in our gospel lesson, Peter will get a different nickname from Jesus. Jesus will say to him when Peter argues against Jesus having to go to the cross and die, "Get behind me, Satan." So much for rock, so much for Peter. That story, of course, goes on to tell us and to show us that Peter does not yet understand what it means for Jesus to be Messiah and Son of the living God. He will not live into that until later. And yet Jesus still trusts him. Jesus still chooses him. Jesus still believes in him. Jesus chooses and trusts Peter not only to be a foundational stone for the church, but also to be one entrusted with great authority and decision-making within the kingdom of heaven. Jesus here entrusts Peter with the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Think about your own life for a moment. Who do you trust with your keys? If you're anything like me, you don't hand them to just anybody, anytime. Jesus believes in Peter. Here he gives Peter a new name. He blesses Peter and he entrusts Peter with the mission of the church. Think about that early mission of the early church. Think about all the odds stacked against Peter and the others. We know Peter himself was martyred along with most of the other disciples. We know they had hard decisions to make in those early days about who was in and who was out. Was the church just for Jewish believers, or was it open to Gentiles as well? How does one become part of the church? What about baptismal practices? Who can be baptized and how and in whose name? What about worship practices? What about a replacement for Judas Iscariot among the 12? What about that young, zealous hothead named Saul, also known as Paul, who had been going around persecuting the church and yet came to the others claiming to be called by God as an apostle to the Gentiles? All these things were things that the church and Peter would have to face within the first few years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And all of that while facing persecution and misunderstanding. Yet we know Jesus was still faithful. Jesus still trusted Peter. And Jesus promised that nothing, not even the gates of Hades, would prevail against the church. Nothing, not even death, not even all the powers of evil at work in the world, can undo or destroy what Jesus came to create among us. The early church made it through, built on the foundation Jesus himself laid. And Jesus' promise of hope in the face of so much challenge and difficulty gives me great hope today. And just as Jesus believed in Peter, Jesus believes in you. For our story, believe it or not, is much the same as Peter's story. We too are given a name. We too are blessed. We too are chosen to participate in this kingdom, in this church. It is in holy baptism that we are given a new name, beloved child of God. It is in baptism that we are blessed, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. It is in baptism that we are entrusted with the mission of the church. There in baptism, we are joined to Christ and the whole church, and we are sent from that font to love and serve the whole world for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom. This seems incredibly good news to me during this time when we may feel like the gates of Hades are arrayed against us. I don't know about you, but I've experienced far too much death this year. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of evil at work in our world lately. There's more than enough of that to go around. But there is even more of God's grace. There's even more of Jesus' Easter life than there is of death. There is more hope than there is desolation. And when Jesus promises that the gates of Hades will not overtake us, we can literally take that promise to the grave with us and beyond, for we will be raised up and live with him forever. And we don't face the same threats and challenges and decisions as the early church did, but we still face more than our fair share of conundrums these days. We, like the early church, are tasked always to decide who is in and who is out. Who's inside the reach of the church, and who do we turn away from? That's something we struggle with from time to time. Your openness and love for me and my family is one way I've seen God at work through you all, expanding the reach of the gospel to to new people. In an ordinary year, any ordinary year, literally in any other year of my ministry, I would have said, well, thanks be to God, we don't have to start from scratch figuring out how to worship God like the early church had to. But this is 2020, and we seem to be literally reinventing the wheel when it comes to worship practices. We, as Peter and the others did in their first years, learn as we go. We change as the Spirit leads, and we discern together what God has in store for us in these days ahead. We know and trust that God will continue to shepherd us through this difficult time and will use our worship and our decisions to lift us up and strengthen our faith. Now, just as it was back then, the church still needs trustworthy servants. Servants to use the keys of the kingdom responsibly and faithfully and graciously. Jesus entrusted Peter with such a tall task, and in various ways, Jesus entrusts us with difficult and delicate decisions also. So yes, as surprising as it is that Jesus believed in Peter, entrusted Peter, may we find ourselves even more surprised and delighted that God trusts us. Jesus believes in you. Jesus chooses you and calls you, blesses you and equips you to do the work of the kingdom here and now. You are indeed a beloved child of God. You are indeed greatly blessed. And this week, Christ is building his church in you, among you, through you, and with you. And nothing, not even the gates of death, will overcome you. Amen.
We are all one in Christ. We are one body.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord, our rock, you are our foundation in Jesus Christ, your Son, whom we confess as the living God. Prepare your church for its mission in bearing witness to Christ, both here and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, you call forth praises from the far reaches of the universe to the smallest of creatures. Join our songs to theirs, that a spirit of praise and thanksgiving will arouse us to cherish this wondrous home you give us. Lord, in your mercy, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord. Direct the leaders of countries, legislators and magistrates, mayors and councils to walk in your ways. Help leaders regard those in need with mercy and fulfill your loving purposes in the governance of peoples. Lord, in your mercy. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve us, deliver us, and fulfill your purpose for us. According to your steadfast love, grant healing and wholeness to those who are bereaved, in trouble or adversity, sick and in need of care, especially those we name before you at this time. Lord, in your mercy, you call us into this community in which we, though many, are one in Christ. May we recognize in ourselves and in one another the unique gifts you have given us for the building up of the church for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy. You are the everlasting rock from which we were hewn, and you restore your people to joy and gladness. In blessed memory and hope, we thank you for the lives of our beloved ones who now rest in you. Bring us with them to our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of peace with one another. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of the welcome table in this meal, we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you.